The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Dr. Will Cole. As a leading functional medicine practitioner, I have had the unique position to see so many alchemize their pain and health problems to their purpose. Now I want the same for you. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers, where there is a fresh infusion of grace and lightness into wellness. This is the art of being well. Join me every Thursday for a new episode.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral-altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Who's on Content. We are so excited for today's episode. Our guest is Amanda Decadenay. Amanda is known famously for her interest in life and work. Dubbed a wild child at 15, Amanda achieved massive fame as the host of the cult favorite late night UK TV show, The World, before marrying John Taylor from Duran Duran at 20. After years of extreme bullying by the UK tabloid media, she left the UK for the US, a move that Amanda has said ultimately saved her life, where she reinvented herself as a feminist activist, accomplished fashion and celebrity photographer, best-selling author, talk show host, and now podcaster. Amanda joins us on Who's On Content to discuss the recent launch of a special podcast series called About the Men. About the Men is an expansion of her game-changing daytime TV show, The Conversation with Amanda Decadenay, which aired in 18 countries and has a long-standing reputation for creating viral, shame-free dialogues about the messy reality of being human. And the series aims to redefine what it means to be a man today. The debut episode of About the Men, which aired 9/19, is a thoughtful and emotional conversation with Matthew McConaughey, where he discusses experiences of abuse from his childhood, modern manhood as a husband and father, and the importance of teaching his children about consent. About the Men will include poignant conversations and shine light on the various male perspectives from guests including Mike Tyson, Zachary Levi, Cal Penn, Youngblood, and Charlamagne Tha God, to name a few. We haven't heard from men in years, and in this new series, Amanda is reaching across the aisle to help men step up and enter the conversation, because there really is no better or more critical time than now. I'm so excited for you all to get into this conversation. Let's do it. Amanda, welcome to Who's On Content.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we're going to get into this amazing, inspiring career you've had, but also talk about a new venture you're doing, because so many amazing women that have started in spaces and places where there weren't women or where you had to trailblaze have had the opportunity of being told no so many times that they've reinvented their careers on their own terms. So I just want to talk about the content of reinvention. But before we get into all of that, we always like to ask our guests, how do you define content?
Content for me is anything that I'm making, that I'm putting out in the world. So whether that is a TV series, a book, a podcast, what I do on my social media, it's all content. It's just, it's the vehicle that I use to tell stories that I think are important.
Yes, I love that. And I love that. And let's talk about the storytelling of your career and how you started and what your first form of medium and content was.
So I started on television when I was 15 years old. I was hosting a live late night series in the UK.
At 15? Late night?
Yes, crazy, right?
I'm like, wait a minute.
No, it's crazy. It's actually illegal. I don't even know how they did it. So I started at 15 and then I ended up hosting a show called The Word when I was 17 years old. And I became a household name overnight. And it was my first time I had never grown up wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have an idea of what it was going to be. But that was interviewing people on live TV without a delay. So it was great because you could say fuck and
they
couldn't catch it and you could cuss. And it was a crazy show. It was live. It was not live to tape and there was no delay. So I grew up kind of baptism by fire.
Right.
And so everything else that I've done since then is like, yeah, I've hosted live late night TV. So I can do live out in the field shows. I can do sit down long format interviews that get taped. I can do live streams. I can do all kinds of stuff because the first job I had was hosting live late night. And from there, it's like, well, you can work anything out if you can do that.
Absolutely. And so when was the first time? Because I think a lot of people know you from the camera and your work of really photographing the human of your subjects, because you photographed a lot of celebrities and you worked at a lot of magazines. And I want you to really truly give the people your receipts, because the way you were able to pick up this camera and show people and show them at the height of their careers, but show the humanness of them. When was the first time you picked up the camera and was like, TV's cute, but it's these photos for me?
So like I said, I'll use whatever medium I can to tell stories.
Yep.
And the medium that I use and the stories that I tell reflect what's going on in my own life. And for me, I had been a household name in the UK since I was a teenager. And so by the age of 22, I had my first kid at 19. I moved to the US when I was 22. I was done with being famous. I did not want to be famous. I did not want to be in front of the camera. I knew that being famous was not the answer. It was not bringing happiness. And it was actually really challenging for my mental health as a young person to be very high profile without having any tools to handle that. And so I kind of took, when I had my baby at 19, I took about a year and a half off just to kind of be a parent and also figure out what did I want to do? Because I knew I didn't want to be in front of the camera. And from being a famous person, I had been photographed by so many incredible people.
Yeah.
And I had always asked them, what is that light? What is that thing you're doing? How are you doing that? Like, I learned and I asked so many questions. And I realized that I could tell stories specifically about women without being the person who was in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved photography. And so I had been documenting using a camera my whole life. And around age 22 was when I really took it seriously, because I knew that, first of all, it started off with me photographing myself. When I would have a project out, my publicist would say to me, you are such a fussy bitch about who photographs you and the image of you that is put out in the world. Just take your own goddamn images.
You're like, perfect. So that will do.
We can get this sorted the way you want it. So it started off with me working for magazines, doing my own press pictures before there was digital cameras or even selfies. So it started like that. And then my girlfriends who were working, who were actresses or whatever they were, would say, oh, I love that picture. Who took that picture of you? And I'd say, I did it. And they were like, can you take pictures of me? And it was a great opportunity to be able to document people at different stages of their life and their careers, and to really tell a story about them that was truthful and authentic. And that came from A, that I knew them personally in the beginning. In the beginning, obviously not every person I photographed I knew. Same as I interview tons of people that I don't know either, but it helps in the beginning for me to have people that I knew how I saw them, and I saw them in a very authentic, genuine way. That was my experience of them. So I documented them that way. And I think photographing people over the years, from The Strokes and Keanu Reeves and Drew Barrymore and musicians like Beck and
Mary J. Blige, like all these,
Mary J. Blige, Alicia Keys, like all these amazing people that I photographed at different stages of their career. Being a photographer is something that I love so much, because it's not about me. It's just about my perspective.
Right.
It's about, and you can still tell the stories that you want to tell, but without it being your face. It was such a relief to me. Oh my God, that I did not need to do hair and makeup, that I did not need to put the outfit on, that I could just show up. Like, I am not a hair and makeup person. Look at me. I got no hair and makeup.
Let's just get going. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just do it. Yeah. You know? And that was such a relief for me.
And talk to me about the content. And I'm glad, this is what I'm saying, Amanda. Like, you have seen the evolution of celebrityism and how self-loathing it was back then, right? To be a celebrity. Like, most celebrities in like early 90s, 2000s was like, get the camera out of my face. Like, please, like, it's just a job that happens to have a high profile platform, which is either a TV show or a magazine or a movie or a book. But now everyone wants to be a celebrity.
Famous.
Everyone wants to be famous, right? And so what was the content around the time you had your daughter? And I'm sure becoming a mother changed your life, right? It just changed your perspective on the world.
Definitely. Here's the sad reality. It's a great thing that digital media has made creating art, creating any kind of music, film, television, whatever it is, anything you want to create, photography, writing, it's made it accessible to everyone. It's democratized creating content, which is amazing because you shouldn't have to have money to be able to create, right? So there's these tools that are available to anybody. That's the great thing. The downside of it is that everyone is now a content creator of some kind, right? And you have to sift through a bunch of crap to get to good stuff.
Ooh, because the bad content has entered the chat.
Oh my God, girl. Big time. We're drowning in it, right?
It's like, where do I unsubscribe? Where do I leave the group chat? Out of here.
Thank you. So that's how I feel. And I think it's really obvious when you see good content now, it just is so obvious because it's surrounded by so much crap. So for me, it has changed a lot. The mediums that I use, by the way, when I started making my interview series, The Conversation, I made it on my own cameras in my house by myself. I lit it myself. I recorded it myself. I did the sound myself and I edited it myself. It was my perspective. And guess what? Nobody believed it was possible.
Right.
And everyone was like, yeah, sure. Lady Gaga's going to come and sit on your sofa and talk about cocaine
addiction.
You're
like, I'm Amanda.
Like, and I was like, why wouldn't she?
Like, this is really,
you don't know what I know.
Right.
So it was, nobody believed that that series could happen. And so because I had access to cameras and I knew how to work stuff, I recorded it myself. And that's what I was like to tell people who are interested in making content of any kind. Don't let money stop you. There are tools available to you.
Yes.
Take a YouTube course and learn how to use Final Edit.
YouTube University.
How to use whatever the hell you want. Like, learn and make the thing, because once people lack imagination and once they see it, then they're going to get what you're on about. And if your shit is good, people will be wanting it.
Who's on content? Amanda. And so talk to me. I mean, you went from TV to photography, and really there's an amazing group of female photographers that just are able to see the humanness. And I always just say, the future is female. Women will change the world. Like, just mothers for sure will change the world. There's all these amazing female photographers that just approach photography, especially photography of other women, in a very strong and powerful way. But you have been able to do that for your female subjects, but also for your male subjects. And I just want to figure out, at what point were you not satisfied? Because you have two photography books out, correct?
Yeah, I have a book that I did called Rare Birds, which
I'm obsessed with, by the way. Obsessed.
Oh, thank you so much.
Such a good title.
We're about to do a reissue of it. And then I'm publishing another photography book next year. So when that comes out, I'll come and talk to you about it.
Yes.
So that's 20 years of work. So it's going to be really awesome to see the progression from the beginning to now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some amazing female photographers. Unfortunately, when I was coming up as a photographer, there were really not many.
Right.
So yes, there was Ellen Von Unwerth, who photographed me multiple times, who was one of the few women that I could look to.
Genius.
And then there was women who were older than her, like Mary Ellen Mark, or people who were more reportage and documentary, like Francesca Woodman, or people who they were older, they were more documentarians, they weren't fashion, they weren't portrait photographers. Annie Leibovitz, much older. There weren't actually that many. And so I didn't have a lot of women to look to and say, oh, that's the career that I want. And by the way, I hit a glass ceiling working professionally as a female photographer.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I couldn't even get off my fucking knees. The glass ceiling was so low.
So fucking low.
It was terrible. And I realized at some point, hang on a minute, my work is really good.
It's fucking amazing.
Why is it that there are men who started off to me, who work less than me, who are flying by me and getting the paid jobs?
Yep.
Women like myself, we're getting the free editorial jobs because you don't get paid to do editorial.
It's but more you get brand paid building to, for you when you
and
do
guess
editorial.
What? And guess what? I was not getting paid to do the big brand jobs, but men were flying by me and getting paid to do those jobs. And I realized at some point, it was devastating for me to realize it had nothing to do with my skill. It had nothing to do with my talent. Mm. It was to do with my gender. And there was nothing I could do about that. And that was heartbreaking for me. And that's actually why I raised money and launched Girl Gaze.
Talk about it. Because not only is it for women, it's also for people that identify as non-binary.
Absolutely. So Girl Gaze is a global creative hiring platform for women, trans women, and non-binary folks
so
who
fucking smart.
Work in the audiovisual industries. And it was a direct pipeline that I created because I was so sick of hearing brands say, oh, we're really interested in diversity. We just don't know where to hire people. And I suspected that was bullshit. And of so course. I created a practical tool that you can put your credit card in, you can sign up and you can search our database, which has tens of thousands of people in 47 countries around the world, hire these people. And the sad reality was, is that even though I created that tool, it's available, you just sign up, put your card in, and start hiring. A lot of the companies that flew the flag of diversity, we went to a lot of those companies and guess what? They did not want to put their credit card in. They wanted to keep talking about the problem rather than being the solution.
Because it's cheaper to give a statement than to actually create content that shows what the statement said you were doing.
Thank you. And so that was pretty devastating for me to realize too. But for me, it was really important to create that so that there was a point of reference and there was a community that could be hired. Now, we did work with and we do work with some incredible brands, but I will tell you, it is not the plethora of brands that fly the diversity flag. It is way, way less.
And for you as... How do you identify?
Just she, her.
She, her. White, female, cisgendered?
Correct.
And so for you, people are like, oh, what do you know about diversity? What do you know about not having things given to you? You were famous and people know who you are. But I think what people don't realize is that at every level, there are glass ceilings, marble ceilings, shit that, especially for women, they will never be able to penetrate. And so what you 100%. Did was say, the content ain't even about me. The content is about the children that I'll bring up or the friends that they'll have and how I want to leave this world. And now what I want us to discuss is because you started Girl Gaze and all of this content out there was telling you, no, you can't do it. Men this, sit down, just look pretty and do the things. And you was like, no, at every turn you was like, no, I'm going to do this. You started to give voice to men that also believed that spaces and places should be diverse and started a series called About the Men, right?
Yeah, we just launched not long ago. And it's my series, The Conversation, that I launched 10 years ago with women. I'm doing a special series called About the Men. So The Conversation About the Men, and I'm interviewing men, really diverse perspectives on masculinity, because I want to go where I can be most helpful. Like I said, I'm a storyteller and I'm interested in pushing certain narratives that I think are oppressed and need to be up and out in the light. So with women, at the time when I launched The Conversation, we were talking about things like sex and love addiction, about self-harm, about abortion rights, about addiction, about postpartum, so many subject matters that people were just not talking about. And that was the first series that really uncovered a lot of women talking about those subjects.
Yeah. And how long ago was that?
That series launched 9 years ago.
Isn't it crazy? We didn't even have social media. I think Instagram was probably a year into being a photo sharing app. We did have some blogs. DBA definitely started 2 years prior because it was Blogspot and WordPress and all these places. But the advent of digital media where it is today was not available to connect people on these issues. And you found a way to storytell and provide content that said, I'm not the only one.
Exactly. And that's what I know to be true, is that no matter what we're going through, when we think we're going through it alone, it is that much harder. And being connected to other people who you can identify with,
it's powerful.
It really is, because you feel like, oh, if this person has gotten through this thing, I can do it. And it is one of the most powerful things, is to connect like-minded people through ideas, right?
Yep.
And that's what I was trying to do that's what I've been doing with The Conversation. That's what I do with Girl Gaze, connecting creative minds that have been shut out, people that want to hire them. It's about connecting people. And with About the Men, I just launched my first one with Matthew McConaughey. And
who is like the epitome of, like, if you think about like, strong man and loves his family and just like all American, he comes to mind.
And that's why he was such an incredible first guest, because what he's talking about is, he's talking about the difference between really healthy masculinity and toxic masculinity. Mm. He's talking about how he learned about consent. He's talking about how he raises his kids with a certain consciousness. He's talking about vulnerability. He's talking about processing emotions. And I feel so strongly that the conversations that I'm having with these men, my next episodes were shot with Charlamagne the God.
First of all, which I love you, Amanda, because your roster of conversations are so diverse. It is so fucking good because you know that at every, within every community, there are nuances to the same conversations you can have. And you are providing those perspectives. This is, again, why we had to have you on Who's On Content, but why you're so great at content, because you know that you can tell it from one perspective and one lived experience, but the subject matter is so layered that you want to bring everyone into the story that you're telling or for them to receive it so then they could perhaps have a different lived experience after receiving your content.
You are exactly right. And how can you say that you're launching a series talking about masculinity when you've only got cis white men talking about
it? Come on, come on.
Cis white man perspective is one of them. There are multiple others. And I will tell you that when I launched the conversation on every single episode, I had women of color. I had a friend of mine who's a trans woman who was in my first series. And multiple networks fought with me and said, you can't have two black women on an episode with four women. I said, why not? We got two who are white.
Yeah.
Like, what's, hello?
What are we talking about?
The conversations that I was having around inclusion then were shocking to me. And I have always been really hardcore about representing diverse perspectives because it's just not truthful otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a snapshot of life. Like, this is not real life.
And so tell us about like the overall goal of the content of About Men. Are you wanting more men to accept diverse lifestyles, or is it more so for men to have more poignant conversations with themselves and their brothers and other male communities about what it means to be a man and how that definition is defined in today's times?
I would say that it's probably more of the latter, mm-hmm. that I want to center men who can speak to subject matter that really needs to get discussed by men in male-centered communities, that women, and also to bring men into the conversation with women.
Yes.
Because I understand that every gender has their own experience in life and we need to have our own safe spaces. But I also really strongly believe that we need to have a communal space
yes.
for genders to be able to listen to one another and to collaborate. Let's get some collaboration going because I feel like to progress women's rights at this point, let's have a space that men can be involved in that conversation. To progress the conversation about what does masculinity look like today, we need all genders involved in that conversation.
Yeah.
But we can't be having it just the cis white women.
You have to bring every voice to the table that is telling the same story to a different audience.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is really important to me. So that's what I'm hoping to do. I'm hoping to build bridges.
Yeah.
Because there is such a gender divide. And I'm raising a teenage son.
Oh my gosh. God bless you.
Yeah. Ooh. And you know, I look at the culture that he's growing
it's
up
so
in
scary.
And I'm like, yeah, dude, we got to do something here, you know?
You're like, mommy's got to give you some different content to consume because
exactly.
this is not going to be it for me in my household.
There you go. So, I mean, I often wonder what it's like for my son growing up with me as his mom, but like using the voices of men like Charlamagne and Matthew McConaughey, who are just a couple of the guests, and really having them shine a light on subject matter that is really significant is an incredible opportunity.
Oh, and did you ever think when you were on TV, you did the photography, you came here and you're still here, did you ever think that we would be so highly advanced within this digital media space where, to your point, content is just shared on such a global scale?
No, I really didn't. And like I said, I think that there's something incredible because it has democratized the mm-hmm. ability to create content. And I think it's terrifying because content is a place where you can creatively express. And it should not be that you have to have an idea fully formed
yeah.
before it goes out in the world.
Because work through it.
Creativity is a way to process an idea and to process and express emotion. And it used to be able to evolve and develop mm-hmm. without it going on your resume forever because there wasn't a digital footprint. Yeah. But now there is. So you better make sure that every single thing that you're putting out in the world, you better stand by it for life, because it is going to be put against your name for life.
Come on.
If it exists in the digital format. And that is terrifying.
And what in all of the content you've created, what do you know now that you wished when you started on this journey of storytelling, you knew back then?
That you need to own your content.
Oh, IP is huge.
IP is king.
King, queen.
All of it. Yeah, yes. It is. Own your IP, because that way you can control the narrative.
Yes.
If you do not own your IP and someone else is paying for it, they will try to get you to skew your perspective and your vision, because they need to be included for their ego, for whatever the reason is, because they got a deal with that company over there, because they did an agreement with that PR person, and they need to make sure that all the talent under their company banner speaks to their PR people.
Yep.
Whatever the fuck the deal
that
is.
Everybody's on the same message points. They got exactly. Their talking points. And you're like, but I don't agree with those talking points.
Exactly. And guess what? If they're paying for your content, you will have less ability to say, yes, I don't believe in that. I don't want to push that narrative. I don't want to talk to that person. And your vision will be diluted. So own your product as much as you can. That is crucial.
What content are you consuming today that keeps you grounded? Because you are a very grounded person. Like you are very self-assured, which I say complimentary, because I think people need to be very sure of who they are in order to show up in the world and give the world and be of service to the world how they can. What is your talent? What is your skill? What do you give back to the universe? And so what content do you consume that keeps you grounded in Amanda?
It's interesting that you phrase it that way, because I always make content where I feel like I can be the most of service.
Yes.
And that is my consistent meditation and prayer. My whole life has been, let me show up, let me be where I can be the most of service.
Mine too.
Okay, so that is why I'm doing the series with men, because I feel like that's where I can be the most of service, to build bridges. How I keep myself grounded is that I don't consume much popular culture.
Ooh.
I really don't. So I read a lot of books about consciousness. I'm in recovery for a very long time. So a big part of my life and my day is spent reading in the morning, my daily meditations, my daily books, to remind myself who I am, to remind myself to clear the chaos of my ego and the clutter in my brain, so that I can truly be of service in the most pure way every day. So I listen to apps that I can do meditations on. I can listen to talks from teachers who are talking about the kinds of things I'm interested in. I listen to a lot of audio. I read books. I'm a big, avid reader. I also am taking a course right now, a therapy training course with a therapist that I love, because that's fascinating to me. I love this type of therapy that this man does, called relational therapy. So I'm taking a course with him. I do things that help me stay grounded and help me to grow. And I know that if I nurture me and I take care of me, that everything that comes from me will be the best that it's capable of being.
Oof, ma'am. Just send me the digital collection plate, because you are preaching today, okay? So we have come to the portion of the show where we like to do rapid fire. And I'm going to ask you four questions. And because I know you understand content is everything and it's all around us, when I say who's on content at the end of every question, tell me if it's books, if it's meditation, if it's your son, all of those things. It doesn't have to necessarily be a platform or a particular content creator.
Okay, got it.
Awesome. Your favorite form of content, who's on content?
Books.
Yes, I knew that. Well, look, I could answer that one for you. You need a reset. Who's on content?
Meditation apps.
What's your favorite right now?
I love an app called The Class.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the other C, but I'm going to have to check out The Class.
Yeah,
yes, put the girls on the game.
I love The Class. I do not like exercise, but this is like mindful exercise.
Okay.
So I get to do some kind of consciousness and move my body.
Oh, okay. I love that. I'm going to have to check that out. When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
A man called Young Pueblo, who is incredible.
Yes.
He is incredible. He has a new book out called Lighter, and he is absolutely wonderful.
I'm going to have
incredible
to look this
man.
Up. Yes. Okay, last rapid fire. When you need to feel joy, who's on content?
My dogs.
Yes.
My dogs.
How many dogs do you have?
I have two. I have two dogs, four cats, six chickens. And
animals,
my animals
ground me in a space and place where it's like the most vulnerable of creatures on this earth that truly cannot defend themselves. Even like lions and tigers are not able to defend themselves fully, because if they were, they wouldn't be in these zoos and shit. And
oh,
so whenever
totally.
I see an animal, it just breaks me into like, it is not about me.
Well, it connects you to you.
Yes.
In a beautiful way and a very true essence. And that's what I love about my dogs.
Oh.
Always. When I need to feel joy, I hug my dogs.
Oh, I love that. Amanda, last question for you. You have seen the world many times over. You have reinvented yourself. You are truly a content creator. And you use all forms of content at your disposal to unite us and connect us. The metaverse, Web3... we're going deeper into this digital universe, which I'm excited about because I've done more extensive research. DBA has launched Influence 3, which will kind of help show people how they can be in this space and continue to influence their communities. But for you and storytelling, what is the future of our industry?
It's hard to say, because I think that more and more people are interested in niche communities.
Yes.
Because they are oversaturated with so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the future, we're going to see people who are more interested in finding their niche. There are some people who are super into analog, who are only interested in shooting on film, who won't, like my daughter, Ella, she's 15 years old. She's a photographer. She won't touch digital. Everything's film.
And which is so beautiful, because it feels
great.
Like a lost art.
Exactly. So I think there'll be niche communities, and I like that, because it's not funneling everybody into one system.
Yeah.
It's allowing people to find what they connect with in their medium and to find communities surrounding that medium.
Ugh, Amanda, you are like a living legend, honestly. And I truly thank you. And I know our listeners thank you, not just for the work you've done with the celebrities, but the work you're doing every day to unite us and to give a different perspective on things that we still just can't seem to get our shit together on.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can all get our shit together and progress in the direction we all need to go.
Thank you so much for joining us on Who Is On Content.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.